Go ahead and turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. The book of Matthew, chapter number 7. I encourage you this morning to share your Bible with your neighbor. I believe it's important that we all see the Word of God in front of us so that you don't think that I'm making this stuff up. And I believe it's important to be able to see the Word of God in front of our very eyes. And so we're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. We're going to read verses 21 through verse number 23. The title of this message this morning is simple: Not All Will Go. Not all will go. And there's a reason for that this morning. So let's begin reading in verse number 21 of chapter number 27. Chapter 7, verse number 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Let's read this again in verse number 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be here today. God, I know that you have already given me this message. You have allowed me to write these very words down that I'm able to speak here in the next few moments. But God, I pray if there's anything that you don't want me to say, that you don't want to have even brought to my memory, God, I pray that you would remove these words from this tablet that you've allowed me to have. God, I pray this morning. I know that we are a full church this morning. But Lord, with that being said, you had 12 disciples. You had one that walked with you for 3 years. You had one that ate with you for 3 years. You had one who prayed with you, who went out and watched you perform miracles. But yet, he still rejected you. And so, Lord, with a building of this size and of this many people that are in here this morning, Lord, it's probably true today that there might be one here today that doesn't know you. They know of you, but they don't know you. There's a big difference in that. They might have a head knowledge, but they don't have the heart knowledge. God, I pray this morning, if there is somebody here this morning, and Lord, I believe there is. I don't know who it is. But God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would bring deep conviction, cause unrest, give them uncomfortableness, so that they can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we ask you these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. Today, we will be having two baptisms after this service. Thank God for that. And I want to tell you, and I want to talk to you, why this has taken place in the lives of these two individuals. I'm not going to talk about the individuals themselves, but we're going to talk about what has led up to this point in their life. The only reason why this is able to happen today is because of the salvation that they accepted from the Lord. Meaning they realized that their sin had separated them from an almighty God. They realized that their sin was taking them to a hell. And they called upon the Lord, confessed their sins, put their faith and trust in him so that they can have eternal life. That's why we're able to do that today. Thank God for that. Perhaps there is someone here today that might not have a clue to what we will be discussing. It might be foreign to you. You might not have any knowledge of what is taking place. But I hope I can make it very clear to you today. Because of this reason, it's not taught in many churches today. What is a common teaching in most churches today is you can work your way into heaven. And that statement, my friend, is completely false. You cannot work your way into heaven. I'm not here to knock other religions. That's not my goal. But I do want you to hear the truth about the importance of being saved. And when I think of the word saved, there's a thought that comes to my mind, and that is this: being set free. Being set free. No longer in bondage, no longer being bound to hell, no longer having that type of a lifestyle, but I have been set free. On April the 25th of 1986, born and raised in a preacher's home, I was destined for hell. It didn't matter that my father was a preacher. It didn't matter that he was the principal of the school. It didn't matter that my mom was a servant of God. It didn't matter that I had other brothers and sisters that put their faith in Jesus Christ. But on that day, I was still going to hell. Why? Because my sins had separated me from an almighty God. But thank God that he pursued me. Thank God that he sought me. Thank God that he got a hold of my heart. And I was able on that day to put my faith, trust, and belief in him. I asked for forgiveness of my sins. I asked him to come and to dwell in my heart. Now, have I been made perfect? No. You guys look at me today and you can see all the flaws that I have. You can see all the imperfections. But I do know this: God has forgiven me of my sins, and my life has been forever changed. Millions of people have heard of the story of Jesus going to the cross and dying for us, but they don't know what his death truly meant for the world. Jesus had a reason for his death, and that reason, my friend, was you. He died for you. He died for you because he loves you. You might not know that today. You might not have heard that at any other church, but Jesus loves you today. Thank God for that. Again, there are millions who know of Jesus, as I said earlier, but they don't know Jesus. Today, before this message ends, I hope that the Holy Spirit will show you the need for him in your life. Verse number 21, it says this: "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." There is a common response when asked a question. And I've dealt with this on many different occasions. I've been with pastor on many different occasions. I've heard him ask this question. I've heard this response that comes forth from almost every individual. And that question is this: are you going to heaven? And the response is this: I was baptized as an infant. Many of us in here have been in that situation. But that baptism that took place that day doesn't guarantee you a place in heaven. It does not. I know that for a fact, because I remember the day that my older brother Wayne got baptized. I remember the day that he got saved. We lived in a house on 20th and Avenue D, and I remember him coming home, and I remember that he got dealt with, and I remember he got saved, and I remember him going to Dad and say, "Dad, I got saved. I want to get baptized." And you know what the younger brother did? "Hey, Dad, I got saved too. I want to get baptized." I was a liar. I only wanted to get baptized because Wayne was getting baptized. That baptism didn't save me. It's more than just baptism. It's showing others that is what has taken place in your life at that point in time. It's showing others that you put your faith, trust, and belief in him. A baby has no idea what faith is. They are only concerned about a few things, and I'm going to name some things that they are concerned about. They're only being about being fed and staying fed. That's all babies are concerned about. They're not concerned about anything else. And they let you know when they're hungry. They'll scream and scream and scream until you feed them. If baptism, my friend, was able to put you into heaven, then what's stopping us from going around our town, filling up a water truck, and just grabbing everybody off the street and dunking them into the tank right then and there? What I'm trying to get at this morning is for you to realize that you must have a relationship with God. And that there is a way for you to have a relationship with God. So many people are dependent upon their baptism to get them in heaven. And all it's done is get you wet. That's all it's done. With that being said, I want to show you from God's word today that many preachers discourage you from reading the word of God. You can have salvation today by understanding the truth of his word. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 5. And we're going to read verse number 24. Again, I want you to share with your neighbors. John chapter 5, verse number 24. It says this. It says, "Verily, verily." Now, "verily" is mentioned twice here. So what that is telling us is, hey, pay attention to what's about going to be said here, because what I have to say here is important. No different than when a mother calls their child by their middle name. When I hear Chad from my mom, I don't always respond, or I didn't always respond as a young child. But when I heard my mom say, "Chad Michael," I knew that she wanted my attention. And I knew with my middle name being thrown out there that I better pay attention to what she was trying to tell me. Now, just to let you guys know, I didn't hear Chad Michael very much as a young child. I always heard Jeffrey Scott. That's all I ever heard. Just to throw that out there. I don't know Andrea's middle name, to be honest with you, or Christy's middle name. It's always Jeffrey Scott. Thanks, Jeff, for taking those beatings for us. Appreciate that. But as we go back here in verse number 24, it says, now I got your attention, right? Now you're going to pay attention to this verse. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." In this verse alone, you hear of two conditions that takes place for salvation. The first thing, if you missed it, I'm going to reiterate it to you this morning, is this: you must hear the word of God. You must hear his word. Which is why I say, whenever the word of God is open, I don't care where you're at, whenever the word of God is open and the preacher, the missionary, the evangelist gets up there, whoever gets up there, listen to the word, because his word is life-changing. So you must hear his word. The second condition that takes place is this: you must believe on him. So what do I mean by hearing the word of God? There isn't a person in here who set themselves on a mission to find God. Amen? I've never went out there and said, "Hey, I'm going to go out today. I'm just going to find God. I'm going to go grab my backpack. I'm going to put on my hiking boots. And I'm just going to wander in the wilderness. And I'm going to go, la, 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 la. Where's God today?" I've never done that. God is the one who is always searching for us. But we do know God has put himself on a mission to find us. Again, turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 19. I'm going to prove this in Scripture. So I've never put myself out there and gone on a mission to pursue God, because that's not in my nature to do those things. But God has designed himself to do this. Luke 19, verse number 10, it says this. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." He came to seek you. He came to seek you from the misery that you're in. He came to seek you for this reason, so that you can have a home with him in eternity. There are some folks in here this morning that have no clue what I'm talking about. But God is seeking you. Why? Because he loves you and he wants you to have a place with him. With that being said, he's looking for you. And there will be opportunities that God will be talking to you specifically. When he does this, it is your responsibility to listen to him when he speaks. Today you have that opportunity. It's by no mistake, folks. It's by no mistake that you are here today. God brought you here today for a reason. And that reason is this. He has a message for you today that you can hear. It's important. What's one of the first conditions? You must hear his word. Don't shut me out. Don't turn me off today. But listen to his word. He has a message for you. And by hearing, you can finally come to the second point, and that is this. You can put your faith and belief in him. Turn to the book of John, chapter 3, verse number 36 today. The book of John, chapter 3, verse number 36. And you might be saying, Chad, you're kind of going over the Romans road. Yeah, in a sense that I am. Because I want you to understand why we are doing this baptism today. I want you to understand what has taken place in the life of these two individuals and why we're doing this. So in John chapter 3, verse number 36, it says this. He that believeth on the Son, say those three words with me, hath everlasting life. Amen to that. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Folks, I am thrilled today because I put my faith, trust, and belief in him that the wrath of God is not abiding on me. Today, because of my salvation, I have a home with him. Meaning, when I pass from this world, by the way, I'm a believer. I'm not going to die. I'm just going to pass. Because as Jeff mentioned this morning, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're just journeying through this world. Okay? We're not floating around aimlessly. Don't get me wrong on those things. But when I pass, I will be with him. You know, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know if somebody will walk out of these doors today, get in their vehicle, and meet a car head on. We don't know those things. 2 weeks ago, my wife got a phone call from a friend of hers. There is a young man that was back from school visiting his parents on the weekend. It happened to be a Friday. He had a good time with his parents, and I believe he was only 19, 20 years of age, something of that age. And got in his car, went back to the city of Ames, Iowa to go back to school. And on his way back, as he's heading back towards his school, he gets in an accident and kills him. Kills him instantly. Have no idea who was at fault, but I do know this. He went somewhere. I don't know if his faith, I know his family has deep faith, I know their family, but I don't know if he put his faith in God. They did something a little bit different that I've never heard of a family doing because it hit them so hard. They actually ended up digging their son's grave. And to top that off, they actually built his casket. Hit them hard. See, we're not guaranteed our next breath. We take that for granted. I've heard people say, well, yeah, I've heard you talk about salvation. I've heard you talk about God, but I just want to live my life. And when I'm on my deathbed, I will call upon God. Folks, this young man had no idea what was going to take place that day. Bam, hits a car out into eternity. You might not have that last chance. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In order for you to have everlasting life, in other words, if you want to go to heaven, you must believe in him. You must call upon him. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse number 13. Romans, chapter 10, verse number 13. As I just mentioned, calling upon him. This is a very familiar verse that a lot of us have read throughout our lifetime. But I want us as a church this morning to read this out loud. Romans 10, verse 13. Read it with me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know that whosoever includes That includes every single one of us in here this morning. It doesn't exclude anybody. It includes you. I've heard someone this week. It saddens me. Their mom's dying. And they've went into a different religion of Calvinism. Calvinism is a religion where many people believe that God chooses you to be saved. They had their pastor go to their mom's house and begin to witness to her, and they walked out, and the pastor said to the son, "I think she's one of those that God's not choosing." Romans 10:13 says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God gave us his son to die upon the cross for your sin and for my sin, that everyone will have a chance to call upon him. Every single one of us. I want you to notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say might be. It says shall be saved. And the very second that you do this, Jesus saves your soul from hell to heaven. Your eternal life begins that day. You are no longer Satan. You are a child of God. And if you experience that this morning, say amen. Amen. Romans 10, verse number 9. Go ahead and turn there. You might say, well, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What else must there be that I have to do in my life? Well, let's look at Romans 10, verse number 9. It says this, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." How does this come about? It's through our faith in him. It's not about living a good life. It's not about showing up on occasions to church. It's not about how much money you give that you might want to throw in a basket that day. It is simply about this. It's about putting your faith in him. It's with confessing of your mouth. It's about calling upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, mark my words, because the Bible doesn't lie. It says, thou shalt be saved. That's exactly what it says. But so often, many people believe it's about our works. Folks, if it's about my works, and I'm going to tell you right now, I am still destined to go to hell. Because I cannot do enough works to get into heaven. I cannot give enough money. I cannot attend church as much as I'd like to and still gain my way into heaven. The Bible does not say that. Turn your Bibles again to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. We'll read through verse number 9. It says this. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." By the way, some people might say, well, faith is a work. No, no, no. Who gives you the faith? It's Jesus. He gives you the faith. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." What's it say in verse number 9? "Not of works, lest any man should boast." That just threw everybody else's theory that teaches works for salvation, that just threw that down the drain. Which is why I encourage you to read your Bible. I encourage you to study your Bible so that you can know what God says. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever put your faith in him? Or are you dependent upon your works for salvation? What I have told you this morning is the truth. Some may have never heard this truth before, but there's something that you can do with this. You can either reject this truth. By the way, if you reject this truth, you're damning yourself to hell. You are. The other thing that you can do, you can accept it and be free from the bondage of sin. You can be free from going to hell, and you'll be forever with the Lord in eternity. And that's a great decision you can make today. You know what? We're going to give an invitation here in a little bit. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Some might be afraid to step out and come forth, but I'm going to encourage you to do this. If you're afraid, stay after church. We'll talk with you. Because we want you to have what we have. We're nobody special. We're not perfect by any means. We're still sinners. We still sin. Matter of fact, I can prove it to you. Somebody probably got in your car this morning, and somebody probably did something to you at the stop sign, or maybe cut you off, and you're doing some Christian cursing in your mind. Why, I'm gonna. What, gonna what? We still have things that we mess up with. But you can accept it today and be free from the bondage of sin. Why does this take place? For this reason. Because God loves us. God loves us. Turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 3. I'm going to show you how much God loves us. John chapter 3, we'll read verse number 15. And I want you to read these words. I want you to pay attention to these words. These are very important. Because this is going to reiterate everything that I have said this morning. It says this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse number 16 is important for us to read and understand too. We have this salvation for this reason. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This can take place in our life for this reason, because of the love that God has for us. Now, as I close, there are two places that either you and I will go to when death takes us. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm praying for the rapture. By the way, the rapture is very close. If you're to study what's going on over in our European nations right now, folks, there's nothing left that needs to take place. There are three conditions that need to take place with Israel. Two of them have already taken place. Two of them already taken place, and one is very close. God's return is very quick. We need to be ready. But if he continues to tarry, there are some things that might take place in that life, in our life, and that is death. And when death takes us, we'll go to either two places. One, we'll go to hell for this reason, because we rejected his love for us. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you didn't call upon the Lord and death takes you, you're going to hell. The other place that you'll go, if you've accepted him, is this. That is heaven. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter number 6. You know, heaven's a gift for us. Our salvation is a gift for us. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23 says this. It says, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. We've all sinned in here this morning. We've all had a time in our life where we've committed sin. And because of that, death has come upon our life. But I'm glad the verse doesn't stop there, because it says this. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The day, the very second that I accepted Christ as my Savior, my eternal life began. Which is why I say, if death was to take my body, I'll just be passing. I'll be saying, bye-bye. Sayonara. See you in a few weeks. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn your Bibles back to the book of Matthew chapter 7, and then we'll be done this morning. I'm going to close out with these verses once again. Pay attention. As you have heard this message this morning, as I know that the Holy Spirit is already working in lives, read this with me. I'm going to read it out loud. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in that name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Folks, let me be real with you this morning. When that time comes, I don't want God to walk up to my Uncle Greg and say, Greg, I never knew you. Greg, I've given you opportunities. I pursued you. I've sought you. I've given you time and time again these opportunities to accept me. And because of that, Greg, I never knew you. Depart from me. You don't have a home with me in glory. You might say, well, Chad, that sounds cruel. He's given you every single opportunity to call upon him. And there isn't a person that I know this morning that I don't want to see go to hell. Family members, friends, co-workers. I want them to go to the place that I'm going. Well, you might say, well, what makes you special? Nothing. I just read scripture. I saw it. And I called upon his name. Lord, save me. And he did. You can have that today too. You know, there are people that sit in church for years that reject the call of God. You have another opportunity. God's seeking you. My friend, don't reject it. Or you can end up like that 19-year-old did a couple weeks ago. And slip out into eternity and never having a second chance. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We have two that are getting baptized this morning. If you can go ahead and go to the back room. Without a doubt, I know God has spoken this morning. And I'm going to give you that opportunity to either come forward. Talk to me if you need to talk to me. If you can't talk to me, I'll have someone else. If you don't want to do this morning and you want to talk to me afterwards, I would encourage you to do that. But if God's speaking your heart this morning, I'm not even going to ask for a raise of hands because I don't want to embarrass you. That's not my goal. I just want you to have the opportunity to accept him. As the pianist plays, you have the opportunity to come forth. Let me pray real quick, and then when I'm done, Chris, I'm going to ask you to play a few verses. Lord, I know that you have spoken to hearts this morning. God, I know you're challenging people this morning. And I pray that they not worry about their pride right now. I pray, Lord, if they're embarrassed, I pray that, Lord, that would go away. Lord, I would love whoever it is to come forth and to accept you as Lord and Savior in your life so that we can rejoice with them. Lord, I would hate for them to stand before you and hear these words, depart from me, I never knew you. God, here's their opportunity. I pray that they would take advantage of it. We ask it in your Son's name. Amen.